Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
And I was not, he said, I was not aware of it. You know what I love is this almost seems like an oxymoron because he said, God was in this place and I didn't know it. Well, if you didn't know it, why are you talking about it? There's some of us can sense that God is doing something, but we're not a part of what God is doing. I want to be a part of what God is doing. I don't want to spectate. I like to play golf. I hate to watch it. I like to play golf. I don't like to watch it. It is boring, but playing it is so, I don't want to spectate. I want to be a part of what God is doing. Verse 17, he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God and the gate to heaven. Turn to somebody and tell them this is God's house and heaven's gate. Then two more real quick. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Then Jeremiah 17, verse 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Two very different views of your heart. And we're going to dive into that for the next three Sundays. But I need you to find three people, and they need to be three people you didn't ride to church with, and tell them, I've got a heart for this house. Find them. I got a heart for this house. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. If I were to ever make a state of the church address or state of the Living Way address, this would be it. Church, it's an exciting time to be a believer worldwide, to see what God is doing, praise God, to see that all of the parts are being shifted around and things are taking place all over the world that is pointing to the return of Jesus Christ. The first time Jesus came, there was a few people that gathered in a stable in Bethlehem around a little manger. Oh, but the next time Jesus comes up, we're going to meet him in the air, millions of us. I just think what the irony would be if Jesus decided to split the eastern sky on a Sunday morning at 11:30. That people in this room would be left while the mic would drop, praise God. Why people all over this world would disappear to meet Jesus. It is an exciting time because that could happen, church, in the next 60 days or it might be 60 years. So I don't know when he's coming because the Bible says no man knows, including the Son of Man, but I do know this. I'm living like he's coming in the next 2 minutes. But I am planning, I am strategizing, and I am building with vision like he's not going to come for 600 years. I want Living Way locally in San Antonio to outlive Brandon. Much like Dr. King's dream, I want my vision to outlive me. I want what God has started here to outlive us. And should Jesus tarry, let your great-grandchildren come to this altar. Let your great-great-grandchildren come to this altar. And it's an exciting time, not just worldwide, but here at Living Way. There are so many new families that we are seeing. New members joining, new attenders showing up, and the best thing is new believers. If you've noticed here, almost every service someone is being baptized. And Mandy and I don't rush out after the service. We hang out in this altar to talk to people, to meet people, to greet people, to pray with people. But one of the reasons I stay is I celebrate. It's one of the greatest things as a pastor to stand on the floor and watch people make a public confession and an act of obedience saying, I not only believe Jesus, but I am willing to change my clothes, to get uncomfortable, and to go and be baptized in water. It's an exciting time, church. This past Friday night, I don't know if any of you were able to make it, the San Antonio Spurs broke the attendance record for regular season game in the NBA. 68,323 people were in attendance. That is quite an impressive feat to get that many people to an NBA game. However, the more impressive feat is that they were able to talk 68,000 plus people to part with their hard-earned money at a time when gas prices are surging yet again. Eggs in some places, mainly California, are now $1 per egg. That's an expensive omelet, y'all. $1 an egg. They talked 68,000 San Antonians into the out of their hard-earned money to watch a subpar team play. The Spurs are having their worst season in 30 years. They were blown out by 30-plus points. They're void of superstars, and they're no longer relevant. You may be saying to yourself, why are you talking about the Spurs' plights? Because the Spurs fill the Alamo Dome and NFL stadiums this weekend will be filled to capacity, but many churches are closing their doors. All because they have deemed that people are no longer interested in church. And can I just encourage you? Yes, no longer are people interested in church, because for far too long, we have made church about church. But church is not about church. Church has to be about Jesus. I will agree people aren't interested in buildings anymore. I will agree people aren't interested in programs and all the things that come with church. But I will differ from them in saying this, that Jesus is still on people's minds. Even if they don't know he's the answer, they're looking for the answer, and it is our job not to make Living Way about Living Way, but to make Living Way about Jesus. I say all of the above, church, because unlike attending a game of your favorite sports team, when I come to the house of God and in God's presence, I am in the presence of a God who has never lost. He always wins. I've never left an LC service feeling worse about my situation than when I walked in. I leave with more faith, more hope, more love. We can transform a community. I didn't have to pay to attend here. You say you took offerings. Yes, offerings, not takings. I am here to tell you as a pastor, and you won't hear many pastors say this, you can come to Living Way for the rest of your life and never give one red cent, and we're not going to treat you any different. We're not going to love you any different. We are going to open our arms to you, open the doors to you, open the altars to you, because it's not about getting your money. It's about getting you in a real relationship with Jesus Christ. When you talk about having a heart for the house, it's not a pocketbook for the house. We don't just want your money. We want everything that is connected to you. When I come to Living Way, unlike when I go to watch the Spurs or the Cowboys, I am not spectating. I am participating. And if you've been spectating for the last few moments in this service, you are doing it wrong. You are just as much a part of this service as the person leading the song. You are just as much a part of this service as the one that is holding the microphone preaching. Can I tell you, when you say amen, you are preaching back to me, because it's not you amening what I said. It's you amening the word of God that I'm declaring. So when I say the word of God and you amen, or you say that's right, or you say preach it, what you're saying is what you said I found to be true in my life. When you come to Living Way or a church like Living Way, you are part of something bigger than yourself. The Spurs will not know your name. You can sit courtside. They do not know your name, nor do they care your name. They just want to know, did you shell out the $1,200 to sit courtside? And did you buy 6 or 7 beers at $12 or $14 a pop? And did you buy a $40 shirt or jersey? That's all they care about. But when you connect in a house like this, and you connect to Jesus, you connect to world vision, you connect to the gospel transforming someone's life, you connect to someone being transformed and not conformed. And finally, when I come to Living Way and you come to Living Way, unlike the sports teams, win or lose, you go home. I've left games that I invested a lot of money to go watch, and even when they won, I was disappointed in myself for spending that much money, and they won. I am here to tell you, when you are at Living Way, you get a chance to be a part of the miraculous God at work. When someone's baptized, it's a miracle. When someone gets saved, it's a miracle. When someone is delivered, it's a miracle. When somebody's husband of 12 years that has never walked an aisle walks to the altar, it's a miracle. When you lift your hands and worship and praise, it's a miracle. Why? Because you know how you used to be 2 years ago or 20 years ago. Listen, when I show up at church, if the people that knew the BC branded were here, they'd be shocked to see me lift my hands. They'd be shocked to see me shout for God. Why? Because I am a part of the miraculous working God. Some time ago, I asked a friend of mine about a pastor in a church that we both knew. I was then informed that the church was struggling and that the pastor had resigned and now was a real estate agent. Understand this, there's nothing wrong with being a real estate agent. Some of my best friends are real estate agents and involved in real estate. And I am involved in real estate, but never make this mistake. I am not a real estate agent that happens to be a pastor. I am a saint of God and a pastor that happens to dabble in other things like real estate and agriculture. But can I tell you that I'm not married to any of those things? I am the bride of Christ. I am married to Jesus. I am a preacher of the gospel. And if I've got to choose some things to quit, I'm going to quit all of those things, but I'm going to keep preaching. You lock me up behind bars, all of the other stuff goes away. But you can lock me up, but you can't shut me up. Why? Because I've got something to say, and you don't quit a calling, you complete an assignment. A friend of mine messaged me from high school. He said, "You still doing that preaching thing?" And in my mind, I thought, "Are you still doing that loser thing?" But I didn't type it. Why didn't you type it? Because I'm a Christian and I'm trying to do better. And I typed out to him, "You don't quit a calling, you complete a calling and an assignment." I'm still doing it because God called me to do it, and I will do it until there's no breath in my lungs. Church is closing, pastors quitting. One of the most recent studies in 2019, 4,500 churches in 2019 closed their doors for good, never to reopen again. And the younger Brandon would say, "Good, we don't need quitters." But the older Brandon says, "We need all the help we can get. I need every storefront church that pastors 12. If they're preaching the gospel, we need them. Because every storefront church that's pastoring 12, 15, 25, 30, if you add all of them up, they're bigger than all of the mega churches put together." I'm here to tell you it's a problem when 4,500 pastors say, "I quit." You say, well, do you have the statistics for how many churches started in 2019? I'm glad you asked. 4,500 quit and closed the doors, and only 3,000 opened. That's a negative of 1,500 communities that have now been robbed of a house that they can invest their heart and invest everything they in and watch God do something great in their life when they plant themselves. This is not a weekly pep rally, Living Way. We want to invest into your life. We want to see you invest into the kingdom of God and into the house of God. This is not something we want you to come to Sunday after Sunday. We want to be invested in you. We want some of our team to talk to you on Monday, to celebrate with you on Tuesday, maybe cry with you on Thursday. We want to be a part of your house, not you just be a part of this house. See, you having a heart for this house means that it is our duty as believers and pastors and team and our leadership team. If you're going to be a part of this house and have a heart for this house, then it is our job, praise God, to have a heart for your house, for your children, your marriage, your mental health, your pocketbook, your career, your purpose, your ministry. 33,000 churches shut their doors in the past 20 years, so we can't blame this on COVID. COVID just gave a lot of pastors an excuse to quit, but it wasn't the reason they quit. In the past 20 years, the average church attendance in America has dropped from 137 to 65 in attendance on Sunday mornings. That is a problem, and it's not a COVID problem. 20 years, there's been Democratic presidents, Republican presidents. We've gone through recession in 2008 and 2009. We've gone through great moments where the economy boomed in the last 5 to 7 years. And so in the last 20 years, come hell or high water or heaven and all the gifts from God, attendance at a local church kept dropping. Why? Because people aren't falling in love with a church, and that is what we're trying to get people to do in most cases. But I don't want you to fall in love with the church. I want you to fall in love with Jesus, and I want you to plant yourself at the church that He calls you to. Some of our leaders have heard me when I meet people here in the aisles or in the altar before and after service. People that I meet when I'm doing business around San Antonio, the first time I meet them, I invite them to come to church. I invite them, hey, Sunday at 11, Wednesday at 7, I'd love for you to come and I'd love for you to sit right there on the front row with me. But for those that actually show up here and they say, I'm new to the area and I've been trying some different churches, and when they show up at Living Way, you know what I want to tell them? Your search is over. You found your home. That's what I want to tell them. But you know what I tell them? Pray about it. Because as a pastor, I want them to be planted in the house that He wants them to be in, not the one that I want them to be in. Maybe Cornerstone is a better fit for them. Maybe New Creation is a better fit for them. Maybe Community Bible is a better fit for them. And I don't want to get to heaven and God say, you stagnated their growth because you put pressure for them to join your pasture when the world is full of pastures. And I had a really green pasture that was going to change their life, but they just coasted at Living Way instead of thrived somewhere else. Most pastors aren't going to say that. You know how I know that? When I go to churches and visit them, churches I'm not ministering at, I don't tell them who I am because I want to get the real treatment. I'm not wearing a suit and tie. I'm not like those old school guys that come in there with a business card. Hey, pass this to the pastor and let him know there's another pastor here. I come in and I sit on the back row. And when I meet those pastors, they put a lot of pressure on me to show back up. They put a lot of pressure on me to sign in to their new members class on the spot. I want you to encourage people to come to Living Way. But I don't want you to rob other churches. And I don't, come on, that's a good place to say amen. If they're at another Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church and they got a heart for that house, leave them alone. There is 2.1 million folks in San Antonio. Most of them are religious, but they don't have a relationship with Christ, and most of them are not in a church today. Those are the ones we're going after. But I promise you, if you bring them to Living Way and they hear the worship and they feel the Spirit and they hear the Word and they see what God is doing in the altars here at Living Way, I've been around long enough to know that if they're hungry for the Spirit, they're not going to look many past Living Way. They're going to come back here. What we've noticed in the past 5 years is people that left Living Way are coming back to Living Way because they got tired of what was happening here. They thought they went somewhere else and found out there's no place like Living Way, no place like home. Attendance is only 36 to 60% what it was pre-COVID. So churches that had 1,000 now run between 360 and 600. I've got news for the pastors. Maybe you're watching the archive today. They're not coming back. You say, that's not faith. That's the reality of the culture. I'm not after those who left. Check this out. The prodigal son's father never chased him. He worked on the house. He looked for him, but he never chased him. He worked on the son that remained. I'm not chasing people who left. I am reaching people who have never been. I am working on the house. It's the reason that every Monday morning at 10 a.m., our team prays, our team studies, our team talks about how can we reach this city for Jesus? How can we get them to Living Way? But if we can't get them here, how can we take Jesus to them? We are not chasing the prodigals. We are reaching those who have never known the Father. We are working on the house so that when they show up, it's not about a show. It's not about a feeling, but they hear the voice of God, feel the presence of God, and the Father's presence draws them in and makes them stay. Somebody say, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. So if this is the Living Way state of address, let me declare a few things to you this morning. Living Way is not going anywhere. Living Way is healthy, growing, gaining momentum, and reaching forward. Living Way, if you looked at it through a business lens, Living Way is in the top 1% of every category that there is: attendance, leadership, health, and financial. Living Way is most likely, no one's ever measured these, but most likely in the top 0.1% when it comes to people actually receiving salvation, being baptized in water, filled with His Spirit, healed and delivered. We're not talking about people that get saved and check out a card. We're talking about people that receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, show back up the next Wednesday or Sunday and say, I want to be discipled and grow in Jesus Christ. We're not going to preach to you and then have you make a commitment at your seat. We are going to continue to open these altars and say, if you are ready for a real relationship with Jesus, this is your moment. Living Way will not compromise. Living Way will not be politically correct. Living Way will keep preaching the gospel. Sometimes the gospel is reaching to the unsaved. Sometimes the gospel is to convict somebody whose lifestyle does not match up with the Word of God. Remember, Living Way is a place of love. And we love everybody and we accept everybody. But we will not compromise truth to make people feel good about living in their sin. If you are gay, this is your church. If you are straight, this is your church. If you are bisexual, this is your church. If you identify as a man, woman, furry, or somewhere in between, this is your church. But do not expect me to tiptoe around all of your triggers. I have been called to preach the gospel. I have been called to give an account of your soul. And I'm not letting anybody go to hell on my watch without preaching truth. If you're shacking up, this is your church. If you've been married 5 times, this is your church. If you've been married 2 times, this is your church. If you've never been married, but you just like sleeping around, this is your church. But we're not changing the church to make you comfortable. We are going to preach the gospel that is going to cause you to elevate your life. It is not going to conform to meet our standards, but the gospel preached will transform us so that we look like Him. I am here to tell you, we will take anybody and everybody, but we are going to continue to preach an uncompromised, unadulterated word of truth, because it is that word that seeks and saves that which is lost. Can I pastor for like 1 minute here? Shame on some of you who have friends that are struggling with their sexuality that you won't bring here because your pastor might say something that offends them. You're worried about me offending them when you're doing the most offensive thing there is, letting them die a godless, no relationship with Jesus death. It is my duty not to preach the gospel on Sunday only. It is my duty to invite my friends. And whatever God does, God does. Whatever God says, God says. Whatever happens, happens. But I'm not going to not bring them, invite them, encourage them to come because of what might be said. You said, well, I just don't think they can handle your abrasiveness and your personality. You do. I've been married to the same person for almost 20 years. She's proven it can be done. And remember, Jesus was not some limp-wristed, sissified, British accent, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guy that you see on the silver screen. Remember, Jesus called church folks vipers. Remember, Jesus flipped tables and chased people out with a whip. I am here to tell you, I won't go out of my way to be offensive, but the Bible says that Jesus is the rock of offense. And so if Jesus offends them, they're just going to have to change. Just like my dad tells me, you can get glad the same way you got mad, just like that. I am here to tell you this church is going to be heralded, not for our music, although it might, not for our preaching, although it might. This church is going to be world renowned for a church that never once compromised. But when we open the doors, Shekinah glory and the Holy Ghost of Acts settles in this place and changes people's lives. So we need you to have a heart for that house. You say, man, I thought this was going to be more of a teaching about what the house does for me and what I can do for the house. Oh, we're going to get there, but I need to describe to you what the house is like first. You've never bought a house that you didn't go look at. You go and you look. You not only look, you have an inspector. And my real estate friends will laugh at this because they know our pain. You know what an inspector is paid to do? Find faults. I want you to know about this house before you put your feet. I want you to know what kind of house this is before you put your kids in nursery, Sunday school, Catalyst Kids and Catalyst Youth. I want you to know about this house before you plant yourself. Why? Because if you plant yourself in this house, you got to understand there's going to be a fruit that comes from this house and comes from the spirit in this house and comes from what God is doing in this house. And you've got to know what you are committing to. We need soldiers. We need ministers. We need servers. We need people that are going to read. What happens next Sunday if 10,000 people show up? We don't have enough ushers. We don't have enough parking. We don't have enough Sunday school teachers. We don't have enough to fulfill their needs. You've got to know what kind of house before you can emphatically make the declaration, I have a heart for this house. I will put up what happens in Living Way against what happens anywhere on the face of the planet. People getting baptized on a Wednesday night is different because most churches have done away with their Wednesday nights. You know why they've done away with their Wednesday nights? Because people quit coming. You know why they quit coming? Because nothing was happening on Wednesday nights that drew people to come. There is not enough food trucks in San Antonio to get you after working 10, 12-hour shift to come on a Wednesday night. But you know what gets you coming on a Wednesday night to church? Because you know when you get here, it doesn't matter about this team. It doesn't matter about me. You know when I get to that place, like Jacob said, I know that God is going to be in the middle of it, and I need some God. I need some word. I need a miracle in my life. We've got to get over people coming to church for us, for programs, for food trucks, because we got the best light, the best sound, the best video. I love all of this stuff, but I preached in funeral homes before. I preached in school stadiums, cafeterias, and gymnasiums before. It doesn't change the way I preach. Why? Because the way I preach and what I preach is not contingent on all of this. It is contingent on the thing I can take with me everywhere, which is Jesus. Which is Jesus. I'm out of time, but let me just go a little bit further. We're going to be here the next couple weeks, so we're good. So what is a church? You've heard me say this many times. A church is so much more than a building. In fact, some would say that the church is not a building at all. It is the people of God. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus comes to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asks his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're Jeremiah. And some say you're one of the prophets. He said, okay, that's what they say, but what do you say? See, there's too many of us that we go to church leaving talking about what they said. You'll have one of your other church friends that's in another church this morning. What did your preacher preach about? And you're going to tell them what I said. Tell them what you know. Oh, he preached about Jesus. But let me tell you about the Jesus he was preaching about. I have a personal relationship. Can I tell you what Jesus told me on Tuesday? Can I show you what Jesus did to me on Thursday? And off you go talking about what Jesus did for you, in you, and to you, not talking secondhand or second eyewitness about what he did or what he said through someone else. Some of you are looking for a prophet. Look in the mirror. You're the best prophet you've got is what God speaks directly to you. That's free. That's not even in the notes. quickly going through this. And he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? He said, okay, that's what they say. What do you say? Simon Peter answered and said, you are Christ, son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. You say, where are we going with this? I'm talking about what the church is now, the universal church, the Big C church. He said, Simon, you are blessed because you know who I am. There is a blessing, church, in knowing who Jesus is. There's a great blessing that you're sitting in a evangelical, spirit-filled, full gospel church today. Why? Because those words represent that you know the real Jesus and not some woke Jesus, progressive Jesus, hippie Jesus, entertainment Jesus. Verse 18, Jesus said unto them, he said, you are now Peter, and up on this rock I will build my church. Somebody say church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. If your blessing is knowing who Jesus is, there is identity in knowing who Jesus is. Why do you think we live in a world that is attacking identity? Because if you're having trouble figuring out what your gender is, all you got to do is look down. I don't need a doctor or a scientist. I don't need anyone else. The doctor will tell you, if you choose not to find out in the sonogram, the doctor will tell you, it's a boy. No, duh, it's a boy. It's a girl. Thank you for telling me. I was going to figure that out. I don't need a doctor. That's not why you have a PhD. But if people have so much trouble figuring out which gender they are, how many of you know how hard it is to find your identity? Which is why the world has even stolen that word, and they say, what do you identify as? What they're saying is I don't know your identity. That's fine. You don't have to know who I am. But I need you to know who you are. Can I just tell you that if you're ready for it, we could ordain all of you ministers, because San Antonio needs a pastor. At USAA. San Antonio needs a pastor at your HEB. San Antonio needs a pastor at your Chick-fil-A. We'll get you another one because Pastor Jaden's working this Chick-fil-A like a violin over there. We need you to identify as an ambassador of Christ. That God, I come to the house to be filled. But God, I'm leaving this place today, and when my feet hit the pavement, I become Pastor so-and-so. I become the greatest evangelist at my job. I become somebody. If I can't get them to your presence, I'll take your presence to them. Check this out. I'm closing. Stand on your feet. This just came to me. You know why many people choose to invite people to church other than witness to them? It's easier. We say, I'd love for you to come to my church. When what we really should do is, I'd love to tell you about my Jesus. Because if I do a good enough job, listen to my heart, church. If I do a good enough job telling you about my Jesus, you'll want to come to the house. I do my best. I used to do this, but I don't anymore. I do my best not to prep people for what goes on here. I used to say, now when you come to Livingway, somebody might, they might run. They might jump up and down and step on your toes. You might hear a blood-curdling scream. Somebody might laugh. Somebody might cry. Somebody might have a legion of demons cast out of them. I don't prep them anymore. You know why I don't have to prep them? They know me. And even if they don't understand the expression, they know me. They know that I'm blessed. They know that I'm powerful. They know that I'm different than everyone else. We're talking about having a heart for the house. But before we can have a heart for the house, our heart has to be directed towards Jesus. Before we can invite someone to church, we've got to make sure that we know how to lead someone to Christ. Because what if you invite him to church 100 times and they tell you no 100 times and you stand before Jesus and Jesus said, I never told you to invite him to church. I said, go make disciples. Go to the world. Maybe we've been spending too much time inviting people to church and not giving them Jesus right where they're at. I open this altar. This is a hard, remember when I prepare my messages, I work from the altar call backwards, and this is a hard altar call to give because I'm not promising and I'm not talking about the favor of God and the blessing of God and the hand of God and the voice of God. I'm talking about your heart directed towards him. I've got two incredible women of God that serve faithfully here at Living Way and have for decades now. I've got a young man that the first time I ever saw him, I saw him worship like I had never seen kids worship before. And God gave me a word for him that the spirit of David was on him. And now I've been able to have conversations and see him and talk to him. These three, I know they have a heart for God. But you know what I love about them is they're saying, God, my heart loves you, but God, there's so much more. There's so much more I want to do. There's so much more that you can do through me. And so the three stand here today. Here comes another young man. Here comes some more. I want to open the altar for Living Way family. I want to open the altar for attenders and maybe a first-time guest. Because at the end of the day, before you can have a heart for the house, you must have a heart for Jesus. If you're lost, this is the day to say yes to Jesus. If you're dirty, this is the day to get cleaned up. We are not here to condemn you. The Spirit of God will convict you. I told you this house is for everyone. We're not going to avoid you. We're not going to point you out or embarrass you. Whatever your lifestyle is, you come to this house. You sit up close. You involve yourself in these services. You come and give us a hug and shake our hands. And listen, I promise if you stay here long enough, your heart will begin to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you renew your mind, it is in the presence of God, which happens in his house. But you quickly realize, I didn't get to this point, that we are his house. Don't you know that your bodies are temples? That's why it's not a Sunday thing, church. It's an every moment, everyday thing. I'm seeing people that I grew up with. Natasha standing right here in the white. I won't tell you how old she is, but I'm 41. We've grown up almost our entire lives together. And here she stands in an altar. Saying, God, I want more. God, I want your heart, so here's mine. God, I want your voice, so here's mine. God, I need your hand, so here's mine. God, I need your presence, so here's mine. I'm going to ask our pastoral team to stand, to come and begin to pray and to lay hands on those in this altar. I'm going to ask all of our prayer partners to stand up close as you can. I know the ushers need to do their job, but I want to encourage you as you are in this altar today, you have people standing behind you that are praying for you. We are praying that the heart of God will become the heart of men and women today, that you would bleed, not Living Way, but you would bleed. And when I say bleed, that you would literally ooze. It would come out of you, God's spirit and who God is. God, as we lay our hands and anoint people in this altar today, it is a heart for your presence, God. Lord, our heart, God, is directed towards you. Lord, you have filled an altar. Now fill your people. God, you have filled an altar. Now fill, God, your people. Fill them with your anointing. Fill them with grace and mercy and peace. Fill them with a desire for the things of God, for evangelism, for witnessing, for testifying like they've never had before. Give them a heart for kingdom. Give them a heart for the lost. Give them a heart for discipleship. Give them a heart for the city. Can I just declare, God, that one of the next times the Alamo Dome is filled with 68,000 people, it will not be for a sports event, but God, let it be for a crusade. Let it be for a revival. Let the Alamo Dome become your house, God, a place for your presence to fall and to flow. As we pray, if there's anyone in this house today that needs Jesus, this is your moment. If there's anyone in this house that needs Jesus as your Savior, to make him your Lord, this is your moment. I could never live without knowing who he is and knowing where I'll go at the end of my life. 2022, I lost some friends. They graduated into heaven. COVID took some friends, graduated to heaven. I miss them dearly, but I will see them again. One of my friends who died 10 years ago, I found myself shedding tears this past week because I miss him so much. One of my high school friends unexpectedly killed in a car crash due to alcohol. I miss them. I've shed tears for them. But I need you to know what I know today. At the end of my life, I'm not going to nowhere. I'm going somewhere called heaven to spend eternity with Jesus. If that's you, and you need to rededicate or say yes to Jesus for the first time, this is your moment. If you'd like to be baptized in water,